Bulletproof Radio, a state of high performance.
You're listening to Bulletproof Radio with Dave Asprey.
Everyone's talking about red light therapy beds, and for good reason. There's a company called ARRC LED that's building an entirely new class of LED devices. ARRC LED beds integrate proprietary scanning technology and frequency protocols to shape the delivery of six different wavelengths in dose-optimized photobiomodulation. Yes, that's a lot of words. What it is, though, is that photobiomodulation improves the underlying energetics of the cells in your body. And those changes can benefit nearly every tissue and organ and system in your body. You change your cells and you change your life. For more information, visit arrcled.com.
Quick question for you. What makes you feel more invigorated, less stressed, and more in control of your body? The answer, more energy. Specifically, more quantum energy, because our bodies are quantum systems. Leela Quantum Tech has figured out a way to harness quantum energy so you can reach a state of vibrancy that you've probably never felt. Dozens of studies show that Leela Q's products neutralize the effects of harmful EMFs around us and even release positive energy that can improve your blood flow, optimize your heart rate, and other benefits. Leela Q has some heavy science backing it up. A recent study looked at people who use Leela Q for just 10 minutes. The study used a special blood illumination technique called dark field microscopy, and it showed significant protective and improvement effects on blood flow. So take a quantum leap into higher vibration at LeelaQ.com/Dave and claim your exclusive 10% discount.
Today's cool fact of the day is about tug of war. It was an official Olympic event from 1900 to 1920, and it was originally used in China around maybe the 8th century to train warriors. Each side would have its own set of drummers to inspire them, and in ancient Greece, they would actually hold hands to make it even more difficult. That doesn't really have a lot to do with today, except that maybe CrossFit is not that different from tug-of-war in that you're pulling with everything you have in it. Who knows?
Hey there, ice bath lovers. Do you want to take your cold exposure game up a notch with some contrast therapy? Well, you should, because cold plunges and contrast therapy can lower stress, up your immunity, and even help you sleep better. It works better than just cold therapy alone. Well, now you can do that with the new Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tubs by Master Spas. Whether you want to relax in a hot soak or get energized with a cold plunge, the Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tub has you covered. You can easily hop out of the hot water, get in the cold water, and go back and forth. When you do that, you get better results in less time, and that's what biohacking is all about. Go to chiligoattubs.com, use promo code DAVE500, and you can save $500 on any Chili Goat cold tub. I have one in my backyard. That's chiligoattubs.com, promo code DAVE500.
Today's guest is the 2013 CrossFit Games world champion in her age group, which is not the age group I would have expected. In the 40 to 44 group, you look much younger than that. Amanda, and by the way, this is Amanda Allen. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you.
You are most welcome. Now, in case it's not obvious from that greeting there, you're not from North America. You're down in Australia, right?
I'm down on the bottom of the planet. Yeah, South Australia. Yeah, Australian.
Now, if you are watching this on iTunes or on YouTube, you would see that I'm looking at a woman who is clearly in better shape than me. You have the most amazing arms. It's just impressive.
There's 3 years of CrossFit in these arms.
It shows. Now, you only started in, 2010 or 2011 in CrossFit?
It's about 3 years now. Like, it's literally 3 years in the lead up to the coming season, 2014 season. Yeah.
Okay. And you finished, in the top 20 in 2011 and just kind of went straight for it?
Yeah, it was all an accident. And I hit the CrossFit Games at 40, almost 41, when I hit the CrossFit Games, having 6 months in the sport. So it was a whirlwind.
Have you always been like an athlete your whole life and then you became interested in CrossFit, or did you just have a wake up one day and just be like, I'm going to be like Superwoman?
Oh my gosh, it's an interesting story. You know, I've been all athlete or or the polar opposite of an athlete all my life. You know, I've really battled both ends of the spectrum, and you know, thankfully today, 43, whatever, you know, I'm just all, I'm all athlete, I'm all health, and I'm you know, I'm all radiant energy, and what a gift that is. But no, it hasn't been all one thing for me.
Okay. That's interesting. And the reason I wanted you to come on the show is that in addition to doing CrossFit, like you've done some other things like yoga and Reiki and massage psychology. So you're pretty well rounded on the wellness front. And, you know, one of the things that people talk about with CrossFit is that, you know, it can be hard on your body. Right. And it's also really good for your body, as you can tell from looking for you. So there's like a delicate balance of, you know, really intense exercise and then intense recovery. And you are someone who's clearly mastered that balance because you're, you know, performing at this very elite level, and, you know, you're doing it after age 40, which makes it tougher, and you're in really good health. And so I want to know your secrets. Like, how do you do this?
It's so interesting, and you know, funnily enough, Dave, I'm writing a book to answer this question, because I get it every day over and over and over, and hopefully I don't bore people with the response, but you know, it hasn't been a simple process. It hasn't been an easy journey, and I had to have the absence of all of that, you know, the absence of health, the absence of mental well-being, you know, the absence of all of that, to slowly over 40 years find my way to what I enjoy today, and what's given me the foundation to be able to be as successful and resilient as I am with CrossFit in my life, in my 40s, you know. But it's, you know, I focus on absolutely everything that I have any control over in my life. So if I'm not training, which is the only place I have any right to be breaking down, if I'm not training, I'm recovering. And that is every 1% of every single aspect of my life. Anything I think, you know, anything I eat, whatever I drink, the people I surround myself with, you know, the environment I live in, you name it. You know, everything is, I know, as rigid and disciplined as that sounds, it's not. It's an absolute joy, but it's every 1%. And I don't know anybody who is as dedicated or madly obsessive as I am about recovery.
That is a Twitter quote right there. You know, if I'm not, we say, if I'm not training, I'm recovering. And
right.
So there you go. You've become a successful CrossFitter because you focus on recovery as much as you focus on the, you know, really good intense exercise that you're getting.
Well, there's only so many hours a day that you can train. So say I'm training 4 hours a day. Well, look, there you go. I've got another 20 hours of the day to screw it up or to get it right. And I spend those 20 hours, you know, being a beast at recovery.
And do you really train for 4 hours a day?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a 7 day a week girl. It's what works for me. I've tried having recovery days, you know, 3 days on, 1 day off, all of that sort of carry on, and I simply don't come back better from it. So I'm better if I'm just you know, running that motor constantly, with fluctuations in intensity, of course. But, you know, a Sunday is a long recovery run, you know, 90 minutes with my beautiful dog, and that's pure joy to me. That's not breaking me down. But for the next person who also doesn't have my background, you know, as a professional triathlete for many years, you know, it may not work for them. I wouldn't advise 7 days a week to any of my clients or most people, but I found it works for me.
Well, the individuality of this whole path of biohacking and figuring out what works, you've got to test it. You've got to see. So It's interesting. It does work. Do you think it's because you were a triathlete, like a pro-level triathlete for so long before you switched to CrossFit? Or did you switch? Are you doing both? Or are you pretty much all CrossFit all the time now?
I can't look at triathlon anymore. It bores me. I would do it, and I have done it in CrossFit competitions. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. But it holds no enticement to me anymore. But it's never one thing, is it? It's never, you know, just one thing in isolation. You know, I I do have that background, so it does lend itself to me being an endurance kind of beast. But I'm also that mentality. Like, I know what my personality is like, and I need to chip, chip, chip away. You know, I'm not the person who needs to go hard, have a big break, go hard, have a big break, or eat really, really well and have a cheat day, and eat really well and have a cheat day. I just need to keep, you know, the engine running constantly, and that works for my personality.
Do you have a trainer who helps you with all this, or do you sort of self-coach?
I'm a strange creature. I have three coaches, and I also get in the mix there as well. So I guess effectively I'm coached by four people, if I include myself, but I have one coach who has been my coach from the very first day that I walked into CrossFit, Ben Norman at CrossFit Adelaide, and he's the poor guy who has to deal with my personality and integrating the coaches involved in, you know, making me the success that I am.
That is impressive that you have multiple coaches and you work like that. Is that common in CrossFit?
Look, you know, it's the same as anything. It's what is common. The uncommon is common, you know, in CrossFit, and
yeah.
Everybody is different. And I wasn't the same in my first year. My first year was one coach only. I knew very little. And I totally deferred to Ben. And then that has just slowly evolved and changed, and no doubt it will continue to evolve and change. And that's the nature of growth. That's the nature of improvement. That's just the nature of life, isn't it?
It really is. I think in any sports discipline, or honestly, even as an entrepreneur, any sort of CEO discipline, if you don't have your ego in enough check to allow people like coaches to come in and, you know, and help you in the areas where you need improvement, or even the areas where you already kick ass, you just want to kick more ass, I found it's much harder to progress. And I wish that when I was a young man, I had understood that, because I'm like, I'll do it alone. And I do find some of that comes out in CrossFit. Like this is a community, this is my tribe. But then there's like, you know, I'm on the bars, and, you know, it's almost like some people have a resistance to, you know, coaching about their form and things like that. Do you come across that in the gym, or has that been your experience? I mean, go ahead.
If I understand your question correctly, it's funny, isn't it? We're all resistant to change. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would resist it also if it worked for me, but I just seem to have been on one of these paths where I have no choice about the change that's happening in my life. I've just got to hold on for dear life and ride that wild wave. And, you know, change is uncomfortable. When I want to add a new coach or two new coaches but still keep my current coach on board, you know, that's threatening to my current coach. That's uncomfortable for me because there's possibly conflict, but I have no choice. You know, when I came back from the CrossFit Games in 2013, having won Masters, but in winning Masters, I also missed out, you know, by a few points at our regional championships in 2013. I missed out on going back as an individual competitor, and I have missed out just over the last 2 years. And so when I go back to the drawing board and go, well, that's not what I wanted, you know, in a way there's a failure. I don't think that's a negative thing. It's just there was a failure in one area of my training. What am I going to do about that? I need to find a new coach. And I was willing to strip everything back and begin again, you know, like let my current coach, let change everything basically. And with that, of course, comes incredible risk and a lot of uncertainty. And who likes uncertainty? You know, we're creatures that constantly looking for that security and certainty. But, you know, you have to be willing to risk everything to improve and to grow and, you know, to take the opportunities. So when I came back from the games, I was really uncomfortable about all of the decisions that I just felt I had to make. You know, there was that wild wave coming through again, and it required my attention and my commitment to be willing to change. You know, constantly, as uncomfortable as that change makes me, I'm always progressing. You know, there's always improvement. You know, I'm only getting better, and even getting better at being willing to risk change. And I think a lot of people just, you know, we all would just want to arrive at our destination and sit back and we, you know, take it easy. you know, so change is uncomfortable, and not everybody wants to be uncomfortable.
I was doing a podcast interview earlier with a guy, Dan Hurley, who's written a book about creating mental change and really making yourself smarter. And that was the conclusion that we both came to, was that no matter what you do every day, if you do something that makes you uncomfortable, that it causes increases in brain function, increases in how you perform. And it doesn't really matter if it's, you know, the extra hard crossword puzzle, if that's something that's difficult for you, or whether it's, you know, challenging yourself in a box until you fall over panting. It's the intensity, and it's the fact that you're uncomfortable, that your body's uncomfortable, that drives change. And it sounds like you've driven quite a lot of change in like 3 years.
Well, I don't think it's a lot. The last 3 years have been easy, I think, compared to the previous 20. But
as a triathlete?
Well, just as, you know, just a lot of, a lot of issues. You know, I was not a particularly well kid. You know, I suffered a lot of depression and a range of health issues. And, you know, just journeying through all of that is, I honestly believe it's laid the foundation for, you know, what I'm able to manage and enjoy today. But every day I turn up to CrossFit, every hour at some point I am facing my own fear. You know, it is scary to turn up and to work as hard as I do day in, day out. You know, it could be one lift at a time, 1 hour at a time, but there's not a day goes by that I don't wake up and confront fear over and over and over again in my CrossFit world. And yeah, that makes you stronger. That builds extraordinary character. And I love CrossFit for that more than anything. It's easy to get into a groove in triathlon, but with CrossFit, you don't get to sit in any groove. You never do. You're constantly being confronted and battered and tested. I love CrossFit for that. It asks me every day, what are you made of? You know, what have you got? You know, do you have the depth of character that's required to step up? And over and over and over again, that question is being answered for me.
It's interesting in that CrossFit is holding the intensity relatively constant, as in really intense, even though the activities vary, which is a kind of a different approach than you typically find. And I think it's that mix that makes it particularly particularly addictive. Are you familiar with the flow state, sort of the athletic flow state that you get into when things just sort of, you lose time and you're just there?
Yes. Yeah.
Does CrossFit do that for you?
Absolutely.
It does.
It's something, you know, that they're like those peak moments where you're totally in the zone, if that's what you're referring to.
Yeah.
And they are so rare, do you know? And that's what every athlete chases. And it doesn't matter what level you are. And I've just been writing my first book, which is almost finished. And I write about that on only rare occasions. And I can remember those workouts, and it may be at competition or just in a day-to-day workout, but I can remember them like they were, you know, a moment ago. They're pure and they're extraordinary, and you don't reach them very often, or I haven't found that I do.
So even in the box, you're not necessarily hitting those on a regular basis. I'm forming a hypothesis here about, you know, intensity of exercise and duration based on an earlier conversation with Stephen Kotler, whose work might be interesting to you for your book. He just wrote Becoming Superhuman, The Rise of Superman, he wrote. And it's looking at extreme athletes, including triathletes and people like that. And how do they get in that state, the one you're talking about athletes chasing? And it strikes me that just the level of intensity plus the variability in CrossFit would be amazing for creating that state, just because you're so all into it. So I don't know if that's a helpful data point for you. But in your experience, do you find it more in CrossFit, or did you find it more as a triathlete, or is it just so rare that it's hard to say?
It is a state, isn't it? And I did a lot of time meditating for years ago. I became vegetarian, and I took a guru, and I chanted the thousand names of the Divine Mother every night in Malayalam before I went to bed. You know, I was totally immersed in another world, you know, constantly searching. And it's a meditative state. Like, I think that peak or that flow, as you describe it, is it's a state, and it is meditation. And I found for me I really struggled with meditation. I explored everything I could, but CrossFit is that. CrossFit is meditation for me. And, you know, you have those times where your meditation is more pure and the thoughts are less. And then you have those times where it's just, you know, it's noise in your head. And I think constantly turning up to CrossFit, yes, and the intensity and finding a rhythm, like that's what I find is, you know, my breath and the next count and the next movement, and my breath and the next count and the next movement, or my breath and the step back and the next movement. That is the meditation. And it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, I don't think it's intensity related, but intensity does help me go there because it is so all-consuming, also all-demanding, and I love it for that. You know, my friends from my days when I was meditating would be horrified that I find meditation in CrossFit. They couldn't possibly touch it, but for me, that's what works. You know, there had to be incense and there had to be, you know, an enormous picture of the Divine Mother, but... you know, for me, I can take all of that with me into CrossFit, and that just makes me who I am, just a little bit odd. But it works, mm-hmm. and I love it.
Do you do strange breathing exercises? Like when you're exercising, do you only breathe through your nose, or do you time your breathing when you're doing a training workout?
I've tried breathing through my nose, and I've tried running when I used to run a lot through my nose, and I can't get enough air in. And
okay, it doesn't work for you.
No, as much research as there is to support its effectiveness and value, I can't do it, so I've given that away. But every workout, it speaks to me, and it determines how I find the rhythm, where I find the pattern of breathing, and that gives me the momentum, and that does take me into that, like you say, that flow.
Now, you have some...
I guess in every single workout, I search for it. You know, I search for that rhythm. I search for that flow. I search for that breathing pattern. You know, I'm constantly looking, you know, to that pure experience of that of that workout. Yeah.
Okay. that's I think insightful, and it's not something that you hear athletes talk about too much. So I appreciate you just kind of laying it out there and sharing it. You have something tattooed on your bicep. What does it say there?
I do. Can you see it?
That is a really ripped bicep. I think I have arm envy here. It says freedom, right?
Oh, it says freedom. Yeah.
Why did you get freedom on your bicep?
I got it actually just over a year ago, and you know, it really is where I'm at in my life, and I have not enjoyed freedom, and actually Freedom Through Discipline is a tour I just did, a speaking tour, a seminar tour up the east coast of Australia. I jumped into a motorhome with my dog and went and spoke for, you know, at many CrossFit boxes all up the east coast of Australia. But Freedom Through Discipline is something, you know, I hated discipline. I rejected discipline for most of my life. And anybody who had it, I think I disliked, but I probably envied. And I think it was a Nelson Mandela quote, freedom through discipline, and I read it about 10 years ago, and it changed everything. It was like one of those aha moments, and I discovered that the only way for me to have freedom is through the disciplining of my own being, you know, and controlling the controllables. And so freedom, you know, has come, like, ironically through discipline, and discipline in my life, and integrating that into every aspect. And that is the most exquisite experience, to have total freedom within your own skin. And I'm not totally free, but I am I'm free in a way, and experiencing freedom on a daily basis in a way I could not have even imagined, you know, 20 years ago.
Freedom from what?
Freedom from, well, for me, freedom from, I suffered a lot of depression, you know, alcohol abuse, you know, so freedom from, I did alcohol and depression the way I do CrossFit. So I do have that personality.
And, very well and said.
It needs to be driven in a very, very positive manner, because I have such, I guess I have such a powerful, ferocious energy inside of me that it must be channeled. So I guess I'm free from that pain, free from being trapped basically in my own habits and the very negative habits. And you know, I used to call it the pit of despair, you know, that I would end up in the pit of despair over and over with no tools, with no way out, and with absolutely no freedom from that cycle. And it's a vicious cycle. And you know, and freedom to explore who I truly am, and to not be afraid of that, because I was, you know, I'd walk into a room of people and be terrified of who they thought I was, and I don't need to worry anymore because I know who I am. I'm, you know, I'm totally free to explore.
Well, you know who you are, and you can kick all their asses too, right?
Yeah, most of them. Most of them.
Well, that is awesome. Now you're talking about depression. Are you okay if I ask you a few questions that are women specific?
Yeah, go crazy.
I get a lot of questions on the Bulletproof blog around intermittent fasting, and I've written a book on fertility for women that Wiley published last year, and around pregnancy health and all. So I care very deeply about that. And at your level of fitness, your level of competition, how do you handle, you know, the monthly cycle, hormone fluctuations, and things like that? Like what's changed because of your level of elite fitness?
Oh, look, my journey with my menstrual cycle has been hell on earth, and it very much was linked into my depression and the cycle of my depression. So it's been a journey of my entire life, and always, you know, looking for answers. You know, how do I get out of this hellhole? So I've constantly looked for patterns, constantly looked for answers, and actually, I'm just producing my first app. Go cool. Me. And it's very much based on a self-analysis chart, or just, you know, how do I measure heart rate, mood, menstrual cycle, like what day am I on the menstrual cycle, my hydration, my sleep, my nutrition, like just measuring. I used to actually include my biorhythms as well on that chart. Mm-hmm. Just constantly looking for patterns. So once I can see the patterns, of course, I can start to, you know, catch that wave, you know, and not let it go where it took me to negative places. So, you know, in saying that, it's been about managing all of those aspects. It's been about withdrawing all of those poisons, toxic poisons from my diet. So, you know, the stuff we know and love when we talk about paleo, so dairy and sugar and wheat and all of the chemicals.
Are you pro butter or anti butter when you mentioned dairy there?
No, I don't find butter is a problem for me. So I'm a fan of grass fed organic butter, but that's it.
You have dairy. Some of the best grass fed butter on the planet in Australia. The last two times I've been there, I'm like, you have biodynamic grass fed butter. Like, you can pick this up. Like, it's so amazing. Like, you're giving Ireland a run for their money here.
Yeah, we're very lucky here in South Australia. We have a great biodynamic farm that produces the butter you're probably referring to.
Yeah.
But no, in terms of managing that menstrual cycle, and you know, in terms of it's not, once I got the physical out of the way, so addressed all of the dietary issues. I started working with a naturopath, and that really helped to bring, you know, my, you know, hormones into balance, and, you know, the vitamins and minerals that I was deficient in. So I brought as much as I could into balance. But then it's just knowing what happens on what days mentally, because that's the battle in the end. Once you've got all of the balance in the other areas and getting enough sleep and well hydrated, well nourished, it's knowing, oh, and on day 22, I'm starting to feel like I'm craving sugar, or I can't do this anymore, you know, I'm no good. Like, the stuff that my head will tell me is, you know, it really goes against me in every way, and it is my worst enemy at those times. And I don't know where it gets the rubbish that it dishes out, and it invariably dishes it out every month. And I just have to know not to believe it, and that is a really tough thing. It's like, I have to have strategies in place. Like, what do? I ring a friend, do you know? Like, I literally pick up the phone and say, it's day 23 and this is what my head is telling me. And she will tell me, it's only one friend, she will tell me everything's all right. It's day 23, you're premenstrual. You know, don't believe the hype. And you really can. I don't understand. And I don't it doesn't stop. It never has stopped. But I do get better at putting strategies in place to manage it. And I know in my diary, every day I track it. What day am I? And if I have those thoughts, I look in my diary. Oh, look there, day 24. No wonder I'm starting to get mad. Don't believe it. And that's all I can do is not believe it and start utilizing, I know, whatever mantras that I might like to use on a particular day. So just focusing on the positive, how does it get better than this? You know, what else is possible? How does it get better than this? What else is possible? Over and over and over again, because I cannot let, and it's like with meditation, don't pay attention to those negative thoughts, just let them pass through. So those thoughts are going to come and they're going to be heavy and bleak and black and a lot like depression when you're premenstrual. But not to pay them attention and to redirect that focus, that mental focus, to something positive. And my mantras have changed, you know, at different stages of my life. But I quite like the what else is possible? How does it get better than this? It just, yeah.
I think you just dropped the jaws of tens of thousands of women who are listening to this and probably helped a few guys understand what you're going through for something like that. Because honestly, we don't have a really good analog to understand. There's a set of signals that come from your body that feel like they're from you, and they're just the body like doing what bodies do. Like I call it the meat operating system. And yeah. It can be really challenging to know like when it's you or when it's like the meat operating system just sort of giving you a signal like, ah, something's wrong. In your case, you know, it's day 23. For other people, it can be, you know, I'm hungry, my blood sugar's crashing, whatever. But all these weird feelings come out, and I certainly used to have tons of anger issues that were biologically mediated, right? So I'm like, why am I feeling so angry? I feel guilty that I'm so mad at, you know, why did I do that? I must be a bad person. And it's like, no, it's because, you know, the operating system of my body like betrayed me and made me think something that wasn't actually there.
Yes, it's betrayal by the mind and the body. It's so true. I like that one. I haven't betrayal. It's true. My mind betrays me, and you know, on a regular, you know, monthly basis. And you know, that years with meditation has helped to teach me not to pay it attention, and to know that I'm not alone. Like, we are not alone. Like, there's, you are not a failure because, you know, your mind is betraying you. But you must have strategies and tools. And around that time of the month, I make an exceptional effort to get more sleep, you know, to have less stress in my life, like just to recognize it. The last thing I need to do, if I can avoid it, is to go do a presentation, you know, when I'm premenstrual. I mean, ideally, I don't go and compete when I'm premenstrual as well, because I am noticeably weaker. I am noticeably, like, my nervous system is not, it doesn't fire as finely. Like, I just can't feel things as well. So if I'm going to do a heavy snatch ladder, you know, I am not in my I'm not in you know, the prime position to hit a PB, and it doesn't come easily. I was and I do map my menstrual cycle, and I was leading into the CrossFit Games in 2013. I was leading into the worst period, like day 24, day 25, day 26, bad. But I knew that a couple of months out, and so I don't take the pill normally, but I did go to a doctor and get a prescription for the pill and just run it through those 2 months. So I avoided my menstrual cycle at that time. So for me, I needed to do that. Like, I cannot afford to be flying internationally, you know, changing time zones, you know, just all of that stuff, and then being hit with a major competition. Having worked for 2 years of my life, every moment of every day, to perform at my very best. So, you know, I wouldn't use those tools at any other time, but, you know, that was critically important, and that's my solution.
It's admirable that you did that, and I'm sure that that's a controversial statement, but, like, do you own your biology or not? And the bottom line is, yeah, if you are a modern person, we have tools that did not exist for our parents, where we can control our bodies and make them do what we want. And our bodies oftentimes don't. And losing 100 pounds, things like that for me, were kind of important. And like, I'll be damned if I'm going to live in a world where, like, my hormones are going to do something I don't want them to do at a time that's inconvenient. So you stepped up, you took charge, and you did that. I think that's, you know, the essence of being in control of your biology. So congratulations for making that decision.
Yeah, it was a pretty easy decision. And, and certainly the right one for me. And, you know, the flip side of the negative side of the monthly cycle is, you know, come day 5 through to 15, I am on fire. You know, I love being who I am. I can lift heavy. I can take on anything. You know, I am peaking. You know, there are 2 weeks where it's extraordinary and there are 2 weeks where it slowly dips. You know, so it would have been amazing to have been able to hit the CrossFit Games in that peak state of my cycle. You know, the other thing that I recognize when I hit the tough patch of my menstrual cycle is, you know, all of that stuff that does come up in my mind, stuff that's bothering me or, you know, in my personal life, there's always a recurring theme. And guaranteed, we're actually quite lucky as women because those recurring themes are a reminder that that shit needs to be paid attention to. If it's coming up again and again and again, it's because you haven't addressed it, you haven't resolved it. And as soon as you have, and the menstrual cycle lets you know because you're so hypersensitive, it lets you know what needs to be addressed. So if you can take it as a positive and actually address it, it's an incredible opportunity for personal growth.
It is. And there's another interesting fact that we came across in the research for the Better Baby book, and that when you're ovulating, if you're below average intelligence, you get smarter. And if you're above average intelligence, you get dumber. Yeah. The day before and the day of ovulation, which is probably in order to, you know, encourage propagation of the species. But the fact that your IQ, like your basic intelligence, not to mention your emotions, are changing on a basis like that. I mean, guys have some of that too. It's much smaller. You know, we get an ejaculation hangover and things, but our monthly cycles, which do exist, are so small, they're almost invisible. So to manage your performance as a professional athlete in the context of that seems like an overwhelming challenge, but you've definitely stepped up and done it, which is remarkable. What do you eat during all this time? Like, you know, I know that you're in the paleo kind of high fat thing, but what's a typical day, breakfast, lunch, dinner? Do you even eat all three meals? What do you do?
Look, I'm a huge fan of food. And I'm also that sort of metabolism and body shape that I need to be, body type, that I need to be mindful of the foods that I eat because I'll put on weight easily. I start the day with, funnily enough, my bulletproof coffee.
Awesome.
I do have coffee only up until about 11:30 in the morning.
Good.
But I don't do intermittent fasting. I've tried and it just breaks me down with the volume of training that I do.
Yeah, that would be a bad idea for a woman
with
your regimen. Like, don't do that, even with bulletproof coffee. Bad idea.
No. I like to try everything. So, yeah, I found out the hard way that it doesn't work for me. At least I know now. So I'll actually have my bulletproof coffee in the morning, and I currently have this incredible smoothie, and I'm a smoothie juice queen. You know, I do tend to live on a lot of liquid foods throughout the day, just because my digestive system is so compromised with the high intensity training that I do, as I say, for hours a day. But my morning smoothie, I basically go to bed each night desperately waiting to wake up so I can have my coffee and my smoothie, and it, over and over, it's like Groundhog Day, excited. But my smoothie is an enormous banana, organic banana, a whole like 2 cups of frozen blueberries, and then I put some organic pea protein powder, like 4 scoops of that, almond milk, organic almond milk, and then all of the superfoods that I've got on the shelf. So maki berry powder, lucuma, is that how you say it?
Yep.
Lucuma powder, acai berry powder. I've got your collagen, the bulletproof collagen,
cool.
That goes in. What else am I forgetting? There's usually another couple of super berry powders that go in there. And so I whiz that up, and that gives me 2 enormous shakers full of smoothie for the morning.
You must put some fat in there too to make it creamy, or no? Like raw egg yolks or something?
I don't add any fat. I don't add any fat to that. You know, I've got the bulletproof.
You got it in your coffee already. I see. Okay.
Yeah, I got the fat there, and I feel that that's enough.
Yeah.
So that gets me through the morning, and I'm usually training. You know, again, I've got a couple of hours of training in the morning after working for a couple of hours, and then I'll always have immediately post training. I have a whey protein powder with a whole bunch of glutamine and L-carnitine and taurine and all of that goodness.
Do you take vitamins and stuff with that too, aside from the aminos? Do you take like a multi or a bunch of zinc or something?
Actually, what I do, I don't know if you can see this green bottle here, yeah. So I have liters a day it's a blend of the current product I use is Vital Greens. I've been using that for years, and there are a whole lot of other green powders on the market. Yeah,
the guy who runs that is from down in your neck of the woods, right?
Australian products. Yep.
Yeah, I met him at a conference in Utah on the top of a ski mountain. Really cool dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's an incredible product. I've been on it for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now. And, you know, it's barley grass, wheatgrass, spirulina, alfalfa, kelp. Like, the list of ingredients is so long and all organic. So that's kind of the foundation with my branch chains and my creatine and my, my branch chains, creatine, beta alanine, Vital Greens. So I'll drink 6 liters of that a day easily. So I'm being drip fed the most extraordinary nutrients all day, every day. Like, even just in that Vital Greens, I probably couldn't eat a decent diet and in a year get the nutrients that are in that in that scoop. So so before I've even got to lunchtime, I've already got, you know, so much in the way of superfoods and the highest quality, basically. The highest quality foods is what goes into me, and what a privilege that is. And I'm not even at lunchtime yet. So then at lunchtime, I'll always have a couple of organic eggs, nitrate-free, free-range organic bacon, and half an avocado. And again, I look forward to that, like, gleeful child.
Bacon does that.
Bacon. One word, bacon. Yeah, I'm a fan. But again, you know, the nitrate-free stuff, the free-range stuff, you know, not the rubbish. And then again, I'll have, that berry smoothie that I had earlier in the morning. I'll have another one of them in the afternoon. I'll have my post-training protein shake again, so the same stuff, that whey and glutamine. And then at night I have a massive steak and a salad with, mostly lettuce and avocado. That's kind of it, but with rice. I have white rice as well. I've steamed white rice with my dinner. And the final thing, and honestly, this is a fairly consistent, this is a normal day, every day, over and over. I'm quite OCD on it. But I'll have 2 or 3 organic green vegetable juices every day, so freshly juiced. And that's been going on since the dawn of time for me.
Nice.
and that pretty much sums up my day. And that'll be, day in, day out. But a lot of liquid food, as you can see, throughout the day, just to get the nutrients in and absorb them.
You must be a hot date. Anytime a woman orders steak at dinner, it's a good sign, right?
It's like, are you going to eat that?
I was like, yes, that's awesome. Not that I have any dating in my life. I'm married and have 2 young kids, but I always was impressed when a woman would order steak when I was dating. I'm like, I like you.
And eat it all, God.
Oh, totally. What about blood tests? Are you like, looking at your hormones and your nutrient levels and like doing the vampire thing like I do, where you're always walking around with a test tube of blood that someone wants?
Actually, not so much. I work with a naturopath who does Vega testing, and I've been working with her now for almost, I guess it's 4 years, maybe closer to 5 years. And
Vega testing, just for listeners, this is an electrodermal thing where you're looking at like acupressure points using electrical stimulator. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, and honestly, it's like voodoo to me. I'm not scientific. I don't understand how it works. You obviously do, but it is extraordinary the way it has worked for me, and I believe in it 100%.
It sounds like witch doctory. I'll tell you, I've seen some unreal results from it where that little machine knows things about your biology by looking at flow of electrons through the skin. There's real science behind it. It's just mostly from the Eastern Bloc. Not from the Western scientific discipline, but I believe there's legitimate science to it. Yeah.
I'm a huge fan. It's brought extraordinary health to me. So I see my naturopath every 4 to 6 weeks. In fact, I see her on Monday morning. I actually started with her. I got very sick being an all organic vegetarian, doing a lot of meditation and not much exercise about 5 years ago, stressed out of my brain. I ended up with a massive fibroid tumor on my uterus, and I'd never been in a worse state of health in my life, and that's when I was referred to her, amongst other things. I tried everything. And that began the process for me of getting extremely well. So she's the one who balances my hormones, my minerals, whatever vitamins need, and also helping to manage my adrenal fatigue. You know, it's constantly fluctuating with the sort of life that I lead, the training too.
Well, training and travel together stress anyone's adrenals.
Travel's the worst. It's not natural.
Yeah.
No. So I rely on her. Rely on her for managing that aspect. Yeah.
So you're under a professional's care on that side of things, and it sounds like you're doing really, really well, and you certainly look like you're doing well, which is awesome.
Yeah.
We're coming up towards the end of our show, and there's a question that I've asked every guest except that one time when I forgot. And that is, given everything you've been through in life, not just as a CrossFit athlete or a triathlete or any of the other things, what three pieces of advice would you offer to people who want to kick more ass?
Mm. Ass kicking is a good thing. There's one to me, and I always looked for the answer. Like I looked in every book. Oh, what's the answer? Or every therapist that I went to, they're going to have the answer. Like, you know, this next food will be the answer. You know, and here's the thing. The number one thing is there's no one thing.
Yep.
Every 1% of every single thing that you have involvement or control over in your life. So what you think, what you eat, what you drink, where you live, you know, the environment you surround yourself with, the people, like every 1% of every single thing, that's what's important, you know, that is it. And probably the second thing for me is, not that I haven't covered everything already in number one, but the second thing is like never give up hope. Like it is never over. If there is even the tiniest sliver of hope, then there is a possibility of, you know, whatever it is you're looking for. And for me, you know, especially in those times of depression, it was something would keep me coming back. Just hope. I just kept trying. Even when I thought it was all over, I didn't want it, I'd failed, you know, it was never going to get better. Yeah, it never is. You know, even when you think you're not doing your best, you're doing your best. And that gave me permission to, I see how that has helped me, well, finally arrive in a place that I could never have imagined arriving. So all the 1%ers, you know, every single 1% counts, and never, never give up hope. You don't need number three, do you? That's done.
That's only two. I'm feeling shortchanged here. Come on, kick some ass. Give us number three. You know it's in you.
You know what? I'm about to get a new tattoo, and I think it sums it up, and that is dream fiercely.
Oh, you know? That's a great one. See, if you hadn't pushed yourself, you wouldn't have come up with it. How cool is that? Now, where is this one going?
On my ribs, just on the side, on my ribs, on the line of my ribs. Yeah, awesome. In a few weeks, I'm booked in.
Oh, that's so cool. Amanda, you mentioned you have a new book coming out. Can you give us your URL or Twitter or however you like people who hear this who want to talk with you? How should they get a hold of you?
Best way for me is on my athlete Facebook page, Amanda Allen CrossFit Athlete, and everything's sort of being channeled through there for the time being. Yeah, and it's not far off. I've got about three chapters to finish, and it's my CrossFit journey, which is the journey of my life, really.
That sounds like an amazing, fascinating read. We will put links to your Facebook page on the show notes for this on bulletproofexec.com. And when your book comes out, let me know, and I'll make sure that our listeners and readers know about it. I'll be sure to mention it on the podcast, which sounds like, you know, you've really plumbed the depths, not just physically of what you can do, but also psychologically. So I look forward to reading your book when it comes out.
Thanks, Dave. I did plumb the depths.
Have an awesome rest of the day in sunny Australia.
Thank you so much. It's been fantastic to talk to you, Dave.
The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.